This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. One guy who has no idea what half of those things are, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
That's me. I don't know what most of those are.
You're an iTunes subscriber. You're a hockey fan. You're a Caps fan. You're a Caps podcaster. But you are not a Stitcher user. You're not a Satchel guy.
I don't need Stitcher. I got the podcast app on my phone.
That's right. But, you know, I like to give people options. We are here to talk about the Washington Capitals. The regular season has started. We're about a week in. And I got to tell you, I was really bummed after that first game, that first loss against the Penguins. I couldn't watch them raise their banner, even though I did see that one shot where they hooked a GoPro to the top of the banner and raised it up. That was actually a pretty cool shot. But I couldn't watch it. I still could not stomach it since April. And then The Capitals, though, they lost that first game, and I was like, oh, same old, here we go again, losing to the Penguins, it's all that ever happens. But here I am, almost a week later, 6 days, I guess, 7 days, depending on when you're listening to this, taken away from that game, and the Capitals right now have 5 out of a potential 6 points. That's not a bad way to start a season.
No, I mean, it's a good thing. It's definitely what you would like for them to do, considering they haven't looked very good in really any of their games so far. I guess the Colorado game was probably their most well-rounded effort so far. I know we were talking with our buddy Ryan Drury last week after the game on Saturday, where the passing has just been so abysmal. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the big reasons that the power play has struggled early on is because a lot of the passing has not been tape to tape, or as I was saying, a friend of mine, Adam, it's not even tape to vicinity of player. Like, the passes are that bad. And you've seen it. I mean, you see it on the power play where Carlson gets the puck and he makes the pass to Ovechkin in the OV spot, but he's not able to shoot it because the pass is too skate or it's too in tight. So he's not able to take the one timer. And so you have those problems where that it's causing the issues that the players are unable then to for Ovechkin to be able to get a shot and for other guys to get opportunities. And so if the passing starts to improve, I think then we'll see the power play get better and better. And it actually started to come out of its come out of whatever the problem it was against the Avalanche. And so for this team to not be playing very well, and I think you're probably seeing this with other teams too. I mean, the Penguins didn't even look that great in the game against the Capitals. And I think part of the problem is the World Cup of Hockey and players going and playing there and not having enough time to be able to work together with their line mates or with the new guys on the team to develop chemistry. And I think that's one of the things that's cost the Capitals, but it's also helped them a little bit with their second line, which I know you want to talk about at some point with the second line, the Trey Conroy boys, where I don't even know if I said that right, where these guys grew up together, not together, but they grew up with the same sort of style of play, playing the same way. I mean, they speak the same language. So there's definitely a familiarity there. With those guys, I think that's definitely helped the team moving forward. And you've seen a lot of good things with guys like Kuznetsov and Oshie and Ovechkin are all starting to get on the same page. Oshie still looks a little bit – even though he scored 2 goals in the last game, he still looks a little out of sync. He still looks a little off. Everything's like a half a second slow for him. But they're getting there.
Yeah, I mean, it's starting off different for the first line, having Kuznetsov there. Yeah, he was there last year at the beginning, but Ovi Backe usually has been a package deal. I like the fact that they're starting it off a little different. I think Ovi, Kuzi have a really good chemistry. Oshie, like you said, I completely agree with you. He has had a couple steps behind the other two Russians on his line, but I think this is just getting the rust off from early on in the season. Like you said, the World Cup happened. A lot of these guys didn't have a true training camp. They came in, they were already playing big boy hockey. However, it was with different teammates. It was with countrymen instead of teammates. So I think that's kind of them getting used to it as well. And I think that's just going to take a little bit of time. Luckily, the Capitals haven't been like the Avalanche and haven't had a crazy road series or anything yet. They've only had 3 games in the first week of the season. And I think that's a good thing for them to start out with. The ending, if you look at March or whatever, doesn't look like it's going to help the Capitals in any way. But this is the way you want to start the season. Yeah, I wish they could be undefeated and they could have 6 points out of 6 points. But, hey, 5 out of 6 ain't bad at all. Let's talk about Saturday's game. Daniel Winnick getting 2 goals for the Capitals. I'm very happy that he's doing well because I liked him coming in. I think the reason we didn't see a lot from him last year is he got picked up in the trade with Brooks Like, so it was close to the trade deadline. It's not like he had like a place.
They were all mourning Like.
Still. Winnick, you know, he didn't have a place to stay with him and his dogs and his wife. You know, they were in hotels and they couldn't really call this place home yet. But now that he's been through somewhat of a training camp with Beagle and Wilson, at least on his line, it seems as if he might actually be gelling really well with those two guys and falling in and being comfortable. And that's what you want. I mean, that's what killed the Capitals last year, was not having four lines doing their jobs. And the fourth line, I think, has been most impressive than any other line this in the first three games.
Yeah, I think the fourth line's been done a heck of a job. And anytime you have a game where you have one of your fourth line guys scoring 2 goals, you've done a good job. You kind of want a little bit more from the other guys on the team, but if they're not picking up the slack and able to score goals, I'm glad that somebody's doing it. If it's coming from the fourth line, that's even better. And when McClellan's going into the offseason saying we need more production from our bottom six, it looks like Winnick said, well, okay, I got you. He scored 2 goals. And I think that's – no, I think it's – yeah, I got you back, man. I think it's great that he was able to come out and get a couple of goals and a team that's still struggling to develop more of that chemistry and be able to sort of get back on the same page that they were on so great last season. It's good to see that role players are stepping up and filling in the spots where other guys are not.
Now, speaking of the bottom six, third line looked very different than last year. We had two guys starting out the season that have not been in Caps uniforms before, Zach Sanford, Lars Eller. Let's start with Sanford. What did you think of his play so far in the first two games?
I thought it was fine. We didn't see a lot from him necessarily offensively. We saw a lot of hustle. We saw a lot of tough, you know, he was trying harder. And right now, I think that's the most you can ask for him. I wasn't expecting him to go out there and be Austin Matthews and score 4 goals in his first game. So I was fine with the way he played, and I wasn't at all that surprised that he didn't play on Tuesday because, you know, he's his first game, first time in the league. He's got 2 games under his belt. Give him a night to watch from above, and I think you're going to see that often, unless he just comes out of nowhere and starts scoring goals and goals and playing great and great and phenomenal and way above where he should be. I think you're going to see him play a game, maybe sit a game, play a couple of games, sit a few games. Unless Connolly just starts blowing it up and playing fantastically, I think, you know, you're going to see Sanford in and out of the ice. It seems like Trotz, and he's done this with other guys before. I think he did with Burakovsky at one point for a while. He likes them to sit up in the press box and watch and see the game from above and see how things go. And so it's a chance for them to sit and learn as the game goes on.
He did that with Kuzi for a couple games. He did that with Tom Wilson for a couple games. He really ticked off Jason Chimera for a couple games because he had Chimera do that, if you remember. But like you said, Sanford's only been in the league for 2 games. So for him to start, that's great. For him to sit, I think it's a learning process.
He's
for
got
him.
So much to learn.
Yeah, he's a young guy.
He's got so much.
What, he was a sophomore in college and he dropped out to become an NHL player. So, I mean, it worked out for him, but he's definitely still got a lot to learn. And I also think pulling him for the third game was a good call for Barry Trotz and the coaching staff, because now they're going to know how dynamic Brett Connolly could be or potentially could be, or if Zach Sanford really is the better call. I mean, again, so early on in the season, you want these guys to find their footing, and you want, and the coaches are kind of learning at the same time. If this new guy can hack it, if this other new guy can hack it, it's good. It's good competition for them. It's just fun to check out. I think it's a learning process for everybody.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, the whole thing is, I mean, it goes back to the World Cup in terms of people are going to have to develop that chemistry and develop that stuff that they missed out in the preseason during the regular season. So you're going to see struggles in the beginning of the season more so than you may normally see, because players are just not having those opportunities to work together in the offseason when whatever happens at the end of the game, whichever team has more goals is irrelevant. It doesn't matter who wins or loses, because right now you're just trying to get yourself ready for the regular season. So you're seeing these things happen when the games count. And you have to wonder, hopefully it's not the case for the Capitals, but some teams may have that where at the end of the season they're going to go look at it and go, oh, if we just had those two more points or one more point from that game we lost early on when we just weren't all on the same page at that point. And I wonder what teams may get screwed over in the end because of that. Maybe not screwed over is the right word, but it'll end up costing them, I should say, in the end.
All right, another guy we got to talk about. He was big news to us last week. We talked about it with our buddy Ryan Drury. Dmitry Orlov. I mean, some people are head over heels for this guy. But
you know who's head over heels for him? Matt Duchene.
The three games that we've had, I said that Orlov was going to sink like a rock in his new role. He's not a top four guy. I still stand by that. But I didn't see a lot from him the first two games. But against a tired Colorado team that faced the Penguins the night before, he showed up. I mean, he definitely had a good game against Colorado. What was it? Was it Oshie's second goal, I think, that the pass started with Orlov passing it to Kuznetsov, who got it to Oshie. He was key in having that goal happen, sending the puck up the ice. So, yeah, he's got some skills, and he's finally starting to show it in these first three games. But what have you thought of Dmitry Orlov this season?
I mean, I think he struggled early on, but so did a lot of the guys. In terms of how they were playing, he definitely was making some mistakes. He's still making, even last night's game where I thought he played very well, he made a couple of mistakes. But I think everyone's going to have one or two in a game. I like what I've seen so far. I think giving him a top four role on the defense is a little much for where his skill set and where his mentality is at right now. But if he's got to be feeling good after that game. And if he's feeling good, he's going to start playing better. I mean, he may get back to where people thought he would be a couple of years ago before he got injured. And that hip check.
Oh my God.
On Duchene was amazing. And it's, you know, we're happy that Duchene wasn't hurt. That's a good thing. We all know that. But if he can, I mean, he used to do that when he first came into the league with the Capitals. When he came up, I mean, he was hip checking people left and right. And it wasn't like a big surprise. And then he gets hurt and he sort of isn't playing as well as he should be. And now it seems like he's getting back to that guy that people were expecting to see all those years ago, who is coming out and he's playing hard and he can play very well offensively. The offensive part of his game has never been in question. It's the defensive roles, and he's not doing what he needs to be doing there. But it seems like he's getting more comfortable, and as his confidence grows, I think Alan May was talking about this on the postgame show last night. As his confidence grows, he's going to get better and better. And if they get Tim to a place where we all think he can be, but they have a damn good defensive group.
I totally agree with you there. I just don't like the fact that he's so wishy-washy so much. Like, he'll have a great game against Colorado, then he'll disappear for a bunch of games. I want him to be more consistent. And a lot of people were saying, oh, did you see Dmitry Orlov in the World Cup? Here's a 25-year-old that has matured his game, and bada, bada, bada. Well, if you're an NHL defenseman playing with a bunch of KHLers, of course you're going to look like $1 million. Because, I mean, you're better than them, let's be honest. They would be NHL players if they were any better, but they're not. They're KHLers. But I want to see him. You know, he's playing with the NHL. He's playing with the big boys. I want to see more from him. If I see more of what I saw from him in the Colorado game, I will completely eat my words. I will. I don't know what I'll do, but I will do something on the podcast to eat my words.
I don't know if I like where this is going.
All right, let's talk about any other defenseman that really sticks out to you this season so far. I mean, Niskanen's looked really good. Carlson's looked really good. What about Nate Schmidt?
I think they've been fine. Yeah. Schmidt's been fine.
I think it'll take a little bit of time for Orlov and Schmidt to kind of get used to their new line mates. It's going to take time.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a while because, you know, Carlson and Orlov were off at the World Cup of Stupid, and Orpik and Schmidt are new line mates together, pairings. And so, yeah, it takes a while for them to start getting used to being working together. And so I think as the season goes on, as long as they stay together and have more chances to play, I think they'll be fine. Right, I'm not too concerned about the defensive pairings right now, as long as they play well. Duh.
All right, let's talk about goalkeeping. Braden Holtby, he's looked good in two games. I was very surprised that they decided to have Braden Holtby sit out on the Holtby's night for the Capitals. He was being honored for his award last year for winning the Vezina. We saw Philip Grubauer net. I think it was a great game for Grubauer, his first NHL shutout.
Oh, he was fantastic.
I thought, yeah, he did great between the pipes. Do you think we'll see more of Gruby this year? Do you think it's not going to be the Holtby show throughout the season?
I mean, we've been hearing that they're going to give him more opportunities to play now, and so I wouldn't be surprised if Grubauer has more games he did in the past. I think he played well, and I think it made complete sense for Holtby not to play last night. Because we've seen, and I was watching, what was it, their like NHL 24/7 ripoff thing they've been doing, Capital Gains or whatever.
Right.
I was watching it, and they're doing starting the whole Holtby thing where he's like, you know, he's doing the thing with his eyes, and he's looking around and thinking about the game, and then he's doing all this stuff he does before a game begins. And for him to be able to do all that and then have to like switch out for a second to accept this award would have totally thrown him off. I mean, Holtby and goaltenders, as I understand it, in general, are creatures, not only creatures of habit, hockey players in general, but they're very superstitious and they stick with their routines. And that totally would have thrown him off his routine. And if you're a guy who has a living, throws yourself willingly in front of a small rubber, hard rubber object being hit at upwards of 100 miles an hour, you're going to need to be focused or injuries happen. And so I'm okay with them giving him that night to just be like, hey guys, thanks very much. It was awesome doing the thing last season. Okay, Grubauer, go do your thing. I'm going to come out, hang out over here. I'm going to hang out with these guys, open the bench door every once in a while and say, what's up? If a guy scores a goal, I'll be like, what's up, man? Fist bump. And that'll be it. I can't give you a high five because my glove doesn't open wide enough.
For Holtby's night, it was a very nice little ceremony they had with Ted Leonsis. His family was there. It was kind of beautiful.
Dude, off topic for a second, but like, Ted's looking good now.
Yeah.
Dude's lost some weight. He's a healthy looking dude now.
Well, no, it's not just the fact that he lost some weight, because he lost some weight a couple years ago, but he always looked like he lost it because he was sick. Now he actually looks like he's kind of like toned and everything, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so he not just lost some weight.
I met him years ago. Yeah. And he's not a little guy. Nah, he's looking healthy. It's good.
Yeah.
We're sitting there. My fiance goes, Ted looks so thin now. And I was like, I wasn't really paying attention. I was like, oh, cool. I look over, you know, a couple minutes, be like, all right, cool, things are happening. And then I'd be like, whoa. Like, he's, you know, he's looking good. He's healthy looking good. All right, we can go back to hockey now. Sorry, I just want to make a comment about that.
Yeah, Ted's looking good. Holtby was there with his family. It was his wife, his two kids. It's real beautiful to see his daughter, how excited she was when he came over in all his gear. And
it looked like his son wanted to get the hell out of there.
His son was not into it. His daughter
I do not want
happy.
To be here right now. I want to go home. I was nice and comfortable. I was watching, that dude doesn't want to be here right now. He wants to get the hell out.
Yeah. So they gave him a custom framed jersey, which I thought was cool, and they gave him a guitar. Is he a musician that I don't know about?
I was like, I guess that part is. I remember from years ago, they're not even on the team anymore. Green and Like would have their apartment, and this was when they're still the young guys, and they were doing their. They had like a behind the scenes thing, and they were showing the apartments, and I think it was Greens, and they had their own little music set up, and like I think one of them played the drums, one was a guitar, and they would go in there and just like jam, and I'm sure annoy the crap out of their neighbors, but it was kind of cool. And so when I saw it, I was like, that he Holtby was not in on that.
No, that was
he's
way
not
before.
Part of the band. So when they did that stupid opening video years ago where they were like a rock band,
oh, that was my favorite one. I loved that cool. One.
They used to make some really good ones. And, like, I remember after Mission Impossible 2. No. John yeah. Lee? The climbing thing in the beginning with Tom Cruise, they, like, reenacted that with Ron Wilson. And he, like, threw the glasses, and I was like, that's so cheesy. But I actually really thought it was cool. And then they did it was Minority Report with Bruce Cassidy, that D-bag. Why do they always use Tom Cruise movies? But I always thought those were kind of fun. And then they kind of went away from that. Now they just show videos.
Yeah, I'm a little bummed because like that's when I really started. I've always been a Caps fan, but I really started getting into them the year they did the Entourage Rock Band intro. And I remember going to games and being so pumped up.
Was Holtby in that one?
No, dude. Holtby was like 18 at the time. No, it was 9 years. It was like no, it was seriously like eight.
Oh, Taylor!
It was
Tanner was the goalie.
Jose was in there. What's it? Brashear? Brashear was in that one. Ovi was the lead singer. Matt Bradley was there.
I remember that guy.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, but that was such a fun one. They stopped doing the fun ones, like when everyone was like, "You better win the cup this year. This ain't fun no more. You better win it." And they got all
They're
serious.
Not wrong. Be great if they would.
It'd be great, but you gotta have some fun in there.
Appreciate it.
I'm intrigued to see what they do with Grubauer and Holpe. Grubauer looked really good, and if he's going to be the backup, that's great, but I want to see more of him because I guess I don't want to see him get rusty by playing like once a month or something. But same thing goes for Holpe. I don't want him to get rusty either, but I was impressed with Grubauer. I liked it. I thought this was a good game for him to play since, again, the Colorado Avalanche retired from the night before facing the Penguins. But yeah, for three games in, I'm impressed with the way the Capitals are playing. I like what they're doing. I think they're looking pretty solid this year. I mean, it all comes down to you can win all the points in the regular season, but it's always that postseason that's the big question mark. There's no doubt that the Capitals can do well in the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a year or so ago there were things. And they were talking about in like games, and it was like 3-game increments or 6-game increments. And it's a long season. I think it's the longest season in North American sports in terms of from the beginning to the end, compared to all the other major sports. And if you try and look at it as the whole thing, you're going to drive yourself crazy. So they break the season down into certain increments as they go along. And so far, it's not looking that bad. I mean, 5 points out of a possible 6, I'll take that. I mean, even if that 1 point that you missed was from as a result of an overtime loss to the Penguins, like that sucks because it's the Penguins, but I'll take it. I mean, you took points away from the Islanders. Colorado's in their division, so who gives a S? And we played at the Rangers on Saturday. So, I mean, if you take points from them as well, it's great. Every time you could take points away from a division rival, that helps you out in the end, even if it is the beginning of the season.
Well, you see, let's talk about this. The two wins that the Capitals got so far, Colorado, a team that did not make the playoffs last year, a team that was tired from playing back-to-back nights with two top teams. The Islanders, on Saturday, the Capitals were able to get away with one there. They had Jason Chimera starting on their top line. That should tell you something right there. And I like Jason Chimera, but dude's not a top-line guy. And then the Capitals lose in a shootout to the Penguins, a team you're probably going to see in the postseason. So what does that really say about the Capitals? They were able to play these two of the out of the three games. I mean, all three they played well. They did. But how do you beat a team that you know you're going to see over, in April and May? Like, that has to be.
It's too early. Right? I mean, teams are going to be so different between now and when they'll look like.
That's true. I mean, 6 months away.
At the end of the season. But all the different trades that can go down, guys are getting injured, guys that will go get descent down, guys that are come up and play ridiculous. And there's so many, there's too many different things that could happen that can affect how things are going to look now.
All right, so
how things are going to look then.
Right. Let me ask you about Sidney Crosby. Now, normally we don't really like to bring his name up unless we have to. However, this is something I do want to talk about. He's out. I don't think he's back yet from concussion, right?
I was actually about to look that up.
How many concussions is this for this guy? I think this is his third one. At what point do you say, look, your brain can't take any more trauma? I know there's a couple wrestlers in the industry that they've said, look, you've already had X amount of concussions. You can't wrestle anymore. At what point does Sidney Crosby go, you know what, it's in my best interest to not play anymore in case I get hit in the head, because that's got to be a concern. Sorry. I'm not saying that as a Caps fan or anything. I'm just saying that as a human being, if it's in his best interest to not play this game, because if he's hit in the head one more time, it could do some severe damage. Don't take that risk.
I'm trying to see if he played against when they got shut out by the Canadiens. Doesn't look like he played. I guess concussion is such a tricky thing, and we're still sort of continuing to learn more about it, as they figure out more things. And I think that it's a situation where I agree with you. At some point, he has to think of himself as a human being and what his life is going to be like after hockey, because every one of these guys in the NHL at some point will have life after hockey. And so is that life going to be a good one, or are you just playing it all out now and hoping for the best? And are you going to be one of these guys that can't remember his playing days,
right,
you know, a short time after they're done? And I guess it also sort of depends on, well, this sounds right, but like, it depends on how serious the concussions are. There are minor ones, there are major ones. I mean, different people can get different ones. There's a guy on my indoor team who got a concussion like 2 weeks ago, and he was cleared a week later. And then there's some people that get concussions and they're not cleared for 6 months. And so it all depends, really. And that, as I understand it, every time you get one, you're more susceptible to getting another one.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And so at some point, I feel like no matter what, at some point, someone, a doctor, is going to be like, dude, you need to stop. And you know that's going to get out, because Canada is going to flip their you-know-what about the fact that he's done, and everyone's going to go after Dave Steckel again and blame it all on him. Because it's complete nonsense. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's gotta be a thing where he's gotta be thinking like, I don't know, but the Penguins are the right thing. They're holding him out, making sure he's healthy before they throw him out there. Though I'd be interested if this had happened right before the playoffs or during the playoffs. I mean, I guess they would have to.
Yeah.
But then there was a situation where, what was that? Was it an NHL game? Yeah. Where I think it was an NHL game. No, it was the NFL, where they have people in the crowd that are watching for head injuries.
I can tell you.
I feel
you,
like it was in the hockey game.
I can tell you last
where they
year.
Where they forced the team to pull a guy out.
Yeah, I can tell you last year when Joe Flacco went down for the Baltimore Ravens, they brought in the next game, they brought in his backup at the time, who was a guy who played for the Houston Texans, whose name is not, I can't think of it right now, but I saw him get tackled and his head bounced off the grass, and I said, that's a concussion right now. They need to pull him out of this game. They need to do it. And they didn't. And I was like, why is he still in this game? There is no reason. He did the next play. What did he do? He threw an interception. Like, that seems to be a thing with quarterbacks after they get hit and it's a hit in the head, that they throw an interception the next time they're doing their thing. So I got so angry at the Ravens for having him out there, because
he probably didn't know where he was.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, a lot of teams have doctors on the sidelines going, like, I saw it at home, and I'm like, that's a concussion. They need to have doctors on the sidelines and stuff going, that's a concussion. And, like, there's some teams have guys who are literally there to keep away certain players' helmets. Because they're like, no, I'm fine, I can still go. And they just grab their helmets and they're going out there with a concussion. There are people there that are just being like, you can't have your helmet back. I'm not giving it to you.
That's like Ovechkin years ago. I think it was a game against the Islanders. Maybe it was rookie year. And like Dinah Zubris, I think, and Brendan Witt had to hide his skates because he had a minor injury and they didn't want him to play.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I go play. And he just like went to try and find his skates and they had to hide them, because he was going to take it and try and go down on the ice. And so it's like, it's one of those things where these guys – this is what they know, and they know sports, and they want to play, and they want to do right by their team and their teammates. I mean, I coach a middle school girls soccer team right now, and I have players that are tired and their legs are sore, and they don't really want to be out there. But I have a girl today who is hurting, but she wants to be out there for her teammates. And so it's tough to, you know, when you're like, I don't want my teammates to lose out because of me. And so for some of these guys, like, I want to play because I'm not playing just for myself. I'm playing for someone else. And so it's tough for them to be like, no, I'm not going out there. So even though it's not great for this podcast because we're Caps fans, I do applaud the Penguins for holding him out.
Yeah. I hope the Capitals do that for any
other. But in
Capitals,
every other state, screw the Pens.
Any other time. I hope the Capitals will do the same thing with any other top players if they had concussions. Like, as much as I want this team to win, I want these guys to be healthy. And concussions is something that's an injury that we still don't know a lot about. We know a lot of the stuff that happens after years of abuse to the brain, you know, with certain NFL players and certain wrestlers and what they've done. But really, we're just learning now, like, how serious this stuff can be. And, you know, any team that does that is a good team in my book. So anything else we should talk about in this show?
I don't know. Did we talk about the giveaway?
We have not talked about the giveaway. You were there opening night.
All right, so you and I have given a lot of grief to the schedule magnet, but this one was actually pretty cool, so I got to give him some credit for this. Because you could – I thought it was a peel-off, and it confused me at first because I was like, I can't get the thing to come off. But you actually – it's like a punch-out. And so it's like the jersey with the schedule in that. And then they also had four players, like Ovechkin, Holpe, Backstrom, and I'm forgetting the last one. Orpik, maybe? Or someone?
Kuzi?
Yeah, maybe. But it was cool, and like it's other magnets you can put on your fridge. And so actually, I was like, I saw it, and I was like, this is oh damn, it's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, like the pictures they Snapchatted out or tweeted out or whatever. I was like, this thing looks massive. Like if you did put it on your car, it'd be like your half your bumper.
No. But there it was actually pretty cool. So props to them for that. I actually thought it was kind of nice. Yeah, so that was kind of cool. It was nice going to the home game. The arena wasn't entirely packed. There was definitely some open seats. So that was a little disappointing. I think the issues – I don't know if I necessarily say it's Metro is the reason people aren't going necessarily, even though the Metro down here is a big, giant thing of suck. From Olney. We drove in from the Olney area. Wasn't that bad. We got parking maybe two blocks away. We went to Chipotle. Almost walked right up to the counter. Thankfully, because like 2 minutes after that, like a whole truckload of people came in. That line got real long. So we got there right at the right time. We got some Chipotle, went into the stadium, got up to our seats before everything went down. So it was cool. We got in to watch warm-ups. That was nice. Got to see Chimera. They made a nice video for him, which I actually thought was very cool. It hadn't even occurred to me that they were going to do that. But that was very cool to have the thing, and that like the players tapping their sticks, and Chimera did a nice wave. Then the Islanders were kind of giving them a little bit of like, get out there, man. They're honoring you. So it was cool, and I actually appreciated that none of the Caps fans gave him any grief.
That's
like you sometimes see where like players come back and they chirp them or you know the whoop thing, but no one did that for Chimera, so I thought that was really good.
I like Chimera. He's a good guy. I wish he could.
I find one of his things on eBay, like a t-shirt or something. I'll totally. I mean, I have a Jeff Halpern shirt I found on eBay last year, and I was like, I'll rock that one. I'd look Chimera, Bradley. He's one of those guys that leaves that, like, who was I talking? I was talking with someone on the way down to the game or at the game, and we were talking about how you can have, like, what players that used to play for the team, is it okay to still wear their jersey? Because, like, my sister wears her Alexander Semin jersey to the game.
Oh.
And it's kind of like, I don't know about that one, even though I have one as well. But, you know, he's going to be wearing it. But like Bradley or Chimera, it's like those role guys. Bradley, Chimera, like
Greeny,
like Halpern wanted to wear. Who?
Mike Greeny.
I feel like you can wear a green jersey. He got his first NHL hat trick the other night. By the way,
how has he not had a hat trick before? I was shocked about that.
I read that. I feel like he had one with the Caps, but I guess not. But that was actually very cool. Did he have one with the Caps? Maybe that's the first one with Detroit.
No, they're saying his first NHL hat trick.
I could have sworn he had like a 4-goal game with the Capitals at one point. Maybe not. I don't know. Either way. But no, I mean, there's some guys you can still wear. There's some people that like, it's not such a good idea.
What about Corvo?
No
Corvo?
No Joe Corvo.
Alexi?
There was a website I was. Yeah, see, I feel like Alexi you could wear. It'd be real random. I don't know. Where do you go? Oh, you have one, don't you?
I have one, yeah.
Actually, did I get one from – I think Kate has one, too.
Did you see the picture of him and the president with the Stanley Cup?
No.
Dude has a shiner meeting the president.
Of course he does. It's Alexi. Probably punched himself. I was on a website, and I can't – I'm going to look it up, see if I find it again.
What kind of website?
Fanatics.
Oh.
And I think they had Curtis Glencross shirt, and it was like $2.
Oh, poor Glencross.
I know.
He wasn't around long enough for me to give him like a wrestling nickname, because I think he could have been D-Glenoration X, and it just...
God, that's terrible.
D-Glenoration X. The funny thing is I would post that on Twitter, and Twitter would block it, would not let me post it because there was an X in it. It was weird.
It's on... $17 on
that's far
Fanatics.
Too much. Far too much.
It was somewhere I saw it and I was like $2. Maybe they had a sale? I don't know. But yeah, it was kind of funny, and I felt a little bad. Oh, there's an NHL thing that came out recently. I'm totally blanking on I wanted to talk to you about. Oh, did you see this thing about General Fanager?
No, I have no idea. What's going on with that?
So his website is no longer in existence because he got hired by the new Las Vegas team.
Really?
Yes, yeah, so they took it down. Or he took it down, or someone took it down. So there is no more General Fanager, and unfortunately the gentleman who created CapGeek passed away. And so I don't know where to find my salary cap information that we tend to use from time to time.
Isn't there one called, like, Cap Friendly or something like that?
I don't know. I will look it up, though.
So what would he do for...
Oh, Brandon, you the man.
What would he do for the LA team? Like, what would be his, like, what would be the point of his job?
No, Vegas.
What did I say?
LA.
Yeah.
Maybe he works for the Kings, too. I don't know. I was reading the article today. Shoot. It was on Puck Daddy, I want to say. Where they were talking about he was doing something with the draft and the expansion draft, and he apparently the guy knows a lot about those kind of things, and so they hired him to work for the team. And props to him for turning what was essentially a hobby in General Fanager into potentially a career.
Now, if only the two of us could figure that out.
Yeah, right. This cap friendly site's kind of cool. Nice call, Brandon.
Thank you. I figure this stuff out from time to time.
Yeah. Have your moments.
All right. Anything else we should cover in Caps World?
I like this one. I mean, the Miners are starting up. I think the Bears home opener the season opener is in 2 days. South Carolina, I think their first game is Saturday the 22nd, which is my friend Mike's birthday. I'm actually out of town this weekend, so I won't be able to watch the Rangers game. I don't know. Is there anything else we want to talk about with the team going on right now? Anybody else causing problems? We talk about Aginla getting an instigator penalty. He was mad because Tom Wilson goaded him into a fight. Aginla, that's your fault. You should know by now that people will do that in this league and be smarter. Grubauer was on fire, although he didn't actually play that much. So, I mean, like, you know, the Caps played a great game against the Avalanche and prevented them from getting a lot of shots. And if the other team doesn't shoot that much, odds are they ain't going to win.
That's very true.
But we're going to see – I mean, it's going to take a while for these guys to sort of get on the same page. Once they do, it's going to be dangerous.
All right, very true. All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. You can also find some of my old stuff and maybe some new stuff over at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which, Brandon, do you want to change your vote or guess or whatever for the Caps fan-selected vote on the game on November 8th, I want to say?
I like to vote privately, like politics to myself.
Shut up.
I still think, what did I say? Holtby? I think it'll still be Holtby because he didn't get a bobblehead on Holtby's night.
Did you see who's getting a bobblehead though? For the Innova blood drive, Marcus Johansson.
That's right. It's been, they said he's been snubbed. This is his first bobblehead.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. Go give some blood, get a bobblehead. That's good stuff. I like that.
I forget who my last vote was, or my six. So I
you keep switching.
Beagle, or I know, right? I'm gonna keep going until they announce it. Like I totally said that guy at some point. I'm gonna pick everybody throughout the season of doing this. So at some point, I just be like, "Yep, I knew it."
If I go to that game, I'm voting for Daniel Winnick because I want them to do a bobblehead of him and his Bulldogs. I want his Bulldogs to bobble. That's right.
That would be cool. Well, that's like my idea with Beagle, and then they would have a Beagle there with the bobblehead.
I like that. I could go for
I hope someone that's going to be involved in the making of this listens to our show.
I assume everyone listens to our show.
Because you're a little delusional, buddy. Sorry. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, it's fun. But, yes, for somehow, that's CapitalsOutsider.com. But, Brandon, Why don't you tell us a little bit about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Two P's in that title. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know, and we're always sharing some cool content over there. Follow us on Twitter at What the Puck Pod. And if you guys checked it out last night, if you're listening to this on Thursday, on our Twitter and Facebook, we got new logos. That's right. We got a new puck on What the Puck. We got some funny faces and some pictures. We got a whole brand new logo. We're upscale. That's what we are now.
Moving up a little bit in the world.
Got to wear a tie if you want to listen to our show.
Can't figure out how to change the color on one of these things.
Or how to get the Twitter header to fit correctly in the screen. But whatever.
One thing at a time. Yeah, your, like, clever joke didn't make its way in.
I know. There is a joke in the header on Twitter if anybody would like to do some hunting. There is something I hid in the background. Spoilers. That's what's going on.
Don't say too much.
Check
then
it out.
They're going to know.
If you find it and tweet to either one of us, we'll tell you good job because we don't have sponsors to give away stuff.
We'll give you a thumbs up and a shout out on the show.
That's right. We can give you that. We can give you a shout out. So tweet to us and we'll say your Twitter handle on air. How's that sound? All right, cool. I like it.
Yeah.
Listen to Ryan Drury as well. Hockey Talk. He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
All right, there's a shout out for you. All right, let's talk about the games coming up until we talk again. On Thursday, November 20th, the Capitals are on the road against the Florida Panthers. We get to check out those new Florida Panther sweaters in person.
Yeah, still probably suck.
That's a weird shield that they have there on their logo. But that game is at... Yeah, that game is at 7:30, and that is on Comcast Sportsnet. Then on Saturday, October 22nd, the Capitals are back home in D.C. up against the Rangers. You can watch that locally on Comcast Sportsnet. It will be on the NHL Network. It's a national game. I'm gonna tell you, I'm pretty intrigued to see how the Rangers are doing because from what I understand, they haven't been playing very well. They kind of got hit by the injury bug, and we know our buddy Ming Chen doesn't like the Rangers, so we're always going to root against them. But
not because of Ming Chen, though. Like, credit to him and everything, but, like, F the Rangers anyways.
But that should be a good game, Eastern Conference game. And then on Wednesday, October 26th, the Capitals are in Edmonton. They're starting their first road trip out to Western Canada in Edmonton against the Oilers, eh? That game, Eastern Standard Time here on the East Coast of the U.S., is at 9:30. So we will be back with a new show. I guess we're recording next Thursday, the 27th. I think so.
Yeah, we'd probably do that.
So a new show will be coming after that Oilers game, so definitely be on the lookout. This is why you should like us on Facebook and check us out on Twitter, because that is where you'll know when a new show comes out. All right, guys, listen, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Be social with the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Pokemon Go and anywhere you're social on with your phone. What?
What?
Yeah.
No, you went too far.
No. Name Pokemon after us. Call him Pucky.
Oh, God.
Pucky Chew.
I refuse to support this.
Mew Puck. That's not a good one.
What?
Bulbus. I don't know.
Moving on. Brandon, you're losing a little bit, buddy.
I'm 31. I don't know. But say, I'm a Caps fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should, too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Coach Dan, very important this Sunday. Walking Dead. Who does Negan kill?
Oh, no. There's a fairly convincing argument for it to be Maggie.
You think so?
But I don't see why they would do that.
Well, he
I'm
is
actually
evil.
More interested in the other rumor going around that comes after the head bashing from Lucille. If anyone's read the comics, it's kind of hard to hate Negan because he's the funniest effing dude in the whole thing. He's so – I don't know. Brandon, have you read the comics?
I have read the comics up to where they get to – what's the place they just got to with where Jesus came from.
Oh, Hilltop.
Hilltop. That's where I stopped in the comics, because that's where the second Commendium ends.
I think the third one's coming out. It's very good. And Negan is the biggest, like, D-bag in the world. Like, worse than Cal Clutterbuck. That's how big a D-bag he is.
So
funny.
What Kirkman,
okay, but to answer your
question. Hold on. What Kirkman has said about Negan, he's like, for those of you that don't know, Negan is kind of like the guy who got all of the starring roles in your high school plays. He's like dramatic. He likes to be on the stage. Oh. He likes to be in the spotlight, but he's still kind of a jerk.
Oh, huge D-bag. No, huge jerk. So funny, though, the way they write his character. He has the best lines in the entire thing. And it's just like, you almost like, I can't be mad at you because it's too funny, even though you're a gigantic D-bag. But I don't know. I hate for it to be Daryl or Glenn. I think Abraham, if I'm Negan, I can't kill Rick because I risk making him a martyr.
Right.
I'm not going to kill Carl because I'm just not going to do it. It's no point. I kill Abraham because he's my biggest threat, because he's literally the biggest guy.
But don't you want to have that guy working for you?
No, because he's not. He's the one that stood up to me. In line, he's the one that rose up and was like, F you, dude. And so he's the guy I take out because he's my biggest threat, and he's not the leader. So I don't run the risk of turning him into a martyr.
I think we are all asking the wrong question. I think everyone's saying, who did Negan kill? I think we should be asking, how many?
There is that thing going around, too.
I think they're going to keep it close to the comics, and I think they're going to take out Glenn, and then I think, like, either Maggie's going to fall over or whatever, and he's going to go like, I got to take her out, too. She's dying anyway. Take her out. Or Glenn's dead, and Abraham gets ticked off and, like, goes, I'm coming after you, or, like, goes to tackle him, and then he gets Lucille'd as well. I think it's two. It's a twofer. I don't think it's just one.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
But I think either way, I think Glenn is gone, no matter what. I think Glenn is definitely gone. My only question after that is it Maggie or Abraham that eats it after that?
I mean, Abraham is, aside from Rick, is his biggest threat. So it makes the most sense.
And he got the best lines last season out of, like, anyone.
And it's also, like, whenever anyone in this world, going back to, like, Dale and all those guys, once they sort of understand, and they're like, they talk about this on Talking Dead all the time, the moral compass, that's when your time's up. They're like, okay, we're all good now. Like, arrow in the head. Like, Dr. Lady.
Right, Dr. Lady.
I don't think it's going to be like, I think, oh God, I'm blanking on his freaking name. The nerd, the science. Eugene. I think he's got a big role to play coming up. I think Aaron wouldn't have the emotional impact, so that would be pointless.
Who gives a care about Aaron, honestly?
Oh, I like the character. I think they have a lot they can do with it. I just think, I don't know. I hope it's – I like the actor, though, so I would feel bad for the guy, but I think it's going to be Abraham, and if there's more, who knows. But then there's also the whole thing with, like, are they finally going to do that thing to Rick that the governor did?
Well, they did put out a little sneak preview online, AMC did last week, where that is 100% teased.
But I don't know if they're going to pull that off, because they talked about it before, and like, and they were like, I don't think we can do that realistically.
That's a lot of graphic work to go into the after the show is.
But it's also like the little things, like you can't, like in the I don't want to spoil it, but like there's little things he wouldn't be able to do, and I feel like they'd be like, this is too difficult to write around. There's so many other things we want to focus on, so. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So besides Walking Dead, don't forget this Sunday, our friend who appeared on this podcast last year, Ming Chen, his show on AMC, Comic Book Men, returns at midnight after the Walking and Talking and Walking Dead replay. At midnight, Comic Book Men comes back. Ming Chen, he's our buddy. And they actually go to a museum in Baltimore, which is actually pretty cool in the first episode. So definitely check out his show. Guys, thank you so much for checking out What the Puck. It's been fun. We got three more games to watch until we talk again. So Last one's in Edmonton. Let's make sure we say this loud and proud so that the Caps can hear us all the way in Edmonton. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
What the Puck? What the Puck is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.